All right, welcome back to the deep dive. Today, we're going to really get into a tricky area in criminal law.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that very fine line between murder and manslaughter.
Yeah, it's a tough one.
Yeah, we've got this this really interesting case, I think, to kind of unpack it all, State v. SETI. And this whole thing went down at a campsite. So, you know, already, you know, it's going to be an interesting scenario.
Right.
Yeah. So for this deep dive, we've got a super detailed case brief to work with.
Okay.
We've got a standard brief, and then we've got some podcast analysis too.
Gotcha.
So all kind of circling around these same events, obviously, and the legal arguments that come out of it.
Yeah.
So really what we want to do today is get a good, solid understanding of how the law actually separates these charges, you know, murder versus manslaughter. And I think we really want to keep our eye on the role of mitigating circumstances here.
Yeah.
You know, how much do those matter? And then, of course, seeing how all of this plays out in a real world situation.
Absolutely. Yeah. The State v. SETI case. I mean, this is a textbook example of how the law tries to figure out, you know, intent and circumstances when someone is killed.
Yeah.
It really forces you to think beyond just the fact that, okay, someone died.
Right.
And look at, well, what else was going on that might actually, you know, make the person who did it less responsible.
Right.
And malice. That's the big idea here that we need to understand.
Okay. So let's just jump right into that.
Yeah.
When we're in this legal world and talking about murder versus manslaughter.
Mm-hmm.
What's that core difference? What's the thing that bumps it up to a murder charge?
Yeah, the critical thing is malice. Whether it's there or not.
Right.
But, you know, we've got to be careful because malice in the law, it doesn't always mean like, you know, just being mean or hating someone, you know.
Right.
Although sometimes it is that. Legally, it's often more about a state of mind, right? Like, were there good legal reasons for what happened? Was there an excuse? Or, and this is what's big in our case, were there things that, you know, kind of make the killing less bad, less blameworthy?
Okay, so if there are these strong factors, things that make it, even though a death happened, there are things that make it less blameworthy, that could actually, like, negate that malice element.
Exactly.
And then it ends up being manslaughter, not murder.
You got it.
Yeah.
That's exactly it. Mitigating circumstances, that's what we call those factors.
Right.
They don't completely wipe away, you know, taking a life, but they help us understand why the person did it, right? Maybe they're super emotional, maybe scared, maybe provoked. So maybe they're not as guilty, as criminally responsible, you know, as you might think at first glance.
Gotcha. So it challenges that idea of malice that you'd need for murder.
Right. Exactly.
Okay. So with that in mind, let's get into this State v. SETI case. Mm-hmm. What happened at that campsite?
Okay. So the story, as we have it, it paints a pretty intense picture, right?
Mm.
It ends in a really sad way.
Yeah.
So we've got David SETI. He's camping by himself.
Okay.
And then along comes Donald Q. Now, Q was, he'd been drinking.
Yeah, okay.
And he's got a gun with him.
Oh, wow.
So he goes up to SETI's campsite and starts, you know, confronting him, making threats.
Yeah.
Things escalate really quickly when Q actually fires the gun.
Oh, man.
Shooting around the area, across a river.
Yeah.
You know, but not directly at SETI at first.
Okay. So just kind of firing off shots, but not aiming.
Yeah, like a warning, but still scary, right?
It's terrifying.
Yeah.
How did SETI react to that? I mean, you've got a guy with a gun firing shots.
Well, I mean, understandably, he was scared.
Right.
He sees this guy, you know, armed, making threats, already fired the gun.
Yeah.
So SETI, he gets his own gun.
Okay.
And he fires off what he says were warning shots.
Okay.
It seems like he was trying to de-escalate, you know, maybe scare Q off.
Yeah.
But, you know, it didn't work.
Of course not.
Instead, they end up in a fight, a physical fight.
Oh, wow.
And this is where it gets really tragic. This fight ends with SETI shooting Q multiple times.
Oh, no.
And Q dies.
And there was something in the briefs about, you know, where those shots hit, right? Like some were close range.
Yeah, that's really important legally.
Okay.
The evidence showed that some of the shots that hit Q were fired from really, really close.
Okay.
And this matters because it makes you question, you know, was SETI really in danger at that exact moment when he fired those close range shots?
Right.
If Q wasn't a threat anymore, then the self-defense argument gets weaker.
Yeah.
And then you have to think, was this too much force from SETI?
Right. Okay, so we've got this whole sequence of events, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, Q's intoxicated, he's got a gun, he confronts SETI, fires off some shots,
yeah.
But he arms himself, fires warning shots, they fight. said he shoots and kills Q. Some of those shots are close range.
Yeah.
What happened legally after all of this?
Okay, so first, the jury found Seti guilty.
Okay.
Second-degree murder.
Okay.
But, and this is important, the trial court, they stepped in and said, hold on.
Okay.
They actually reduced the verdict.
Wow.
They said it was voluntary manslaughter.
Okay.
And they gave him a sentence of 9 to 10 years in prison.
So they thought there was something there that made it not murder.
Right.
But then it goes to the appellate court,
sure,
right?
Exactly.
And they do even more.
They did.
They reduced the sentence even further.
Yeah, they looked at everything and said, let's reduce this to time served.
Wow.
So basically, he was free to go.
So they felt really strongly about those mitigating circumstances.
They did. They really did.
Yeah. So it seems like this whole case, this State v. Seti case, it really boils down to one big question. Did what Q did at the beginning, you know, his aggression, his threats, did that justify changing the conviction from murder to manslaughter?
Yeah, that's the heart of the matter.
And then ultimately getting that sentence reduction.
The courts had to weigh it all.
Yeah.
Know? How serious was it that Seti took a life?
Right.
But also, how bad was the provocation from Q?
Yeah.
How scared was Seti, really?
Right, right.
Was it enough to say there wasn't malice? That you couldn't convict him of murder?
Okay, so back to the basics, the legal rules. Remind me, how do we actually define malice in the law?
Right. So we said malice, it's what separates murder from manslaughter.
Right.
And it's not about, like, bad feelings or even wanting someone dead necessarily. Mm-hmm. It's really about the lack of a good legal reason, an excuse, or, like in the Seti case, strong mitigating factors.
Yeah.
Things that make the act less blameworthy.
Right.
So if there are these strong mitigating factors, like in Seti's case, you've got the confrontation, the threats, the gunshots from Q.
Yeah.
The law says, hold on, maybe the person who reacted, even if they killed someone, maybe they weren't acting with that same coldness, that same level of guilt as someone who kills without any provocation.
Right, right.
Those mitigating factors can really chip away at the idea that there was malice.
Okay, so how did the courts, in this case, how did they actually use this whole malice and mitigation idea?
Well, they really focused on what Q did at the beginning, you know?
Yeah.
The judges, especially Judge Schroeder, who wrote the main opinion, they said that Q being so aggressive, threatening Seti, it was what they called a classic case of provocation and terror.
Wow.
And because of that, they said Seti wasn't as responsible for Q's death.
Okay.
Now, they didn't completely excuse him shooting Q, especially those close range shots.
Yeah, yeah.
But they said the Q's actions, you know, all that aggression, that was the main reason this happened.
Gotcha, gotcha.
That was a powerful mitigating factor. And that's why they changed it from murder to manslaughter.
Okay. And what about that final sentence reduction?
Yeah. Well, the appellate court, they looked at it and said, look, the trial court gave 9 to 10 years for manslaughter.
Yeah.
That's too much.
Okay.
They said it was unreasonable considering all the mitigating evidence.
Well,
they said Seti's actions, you know, they were wrong. But the situation was so extreme,
right,
that it didn't warrant him staying in prison any longer.
I remember you pointed out some really key quotes from Judge Schroeder. What were those again?
Oh, yeah. He was very clear about the law. He said, the presence of malice distinguishes murder from manslaughter.
Right. Straight to the point.
And then, and this is the big one, he said, we find it difficult to conceive of a case in which this presumption of malice is rebutted by stronger evidence of mitigation.
So basically, he's saying Q's options were so extreme, it's hard to imagine a case with stronger mitigation.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
And then, talking about the excessive force part, he said, at most, appellant was guilty of excessive retaliation constituting manslaughter.
Okay, so even if it was excessive, it's still manslaughter, not murder, because of all that came before.
Right.
So for all the law students out there, what are the big takeaways from this case?
I think there are a few. First, those mitigating circumstances, they can really make a difference. Even reduce a murder charge to manslaughter.
Yeah.
Even when the person used deadly force, maybe even too much force.
Okay.
And second, judges have power.
Yeah.
They can look at a jury's verdict, look at the sentence, and change things if they think it's the right thing to do.
Right, right. If justice demands it.
Exactly.
That's a huge part of our system. And you were really careful earlier about defining malice.
Yeah.
Can you break that down one more time? I mean, using the facts of this case?
Sure. So remember, when we say malice in murder cases, we don't just mean being angry or wanting to hurt someone.
Right.
It's more specific.
Okay.
It means there's no good legal reason, no excuse, and like we've been talking about, no strong mitigating circumstances.
Okay.
Things that make the killing less bad, less blameworthy.
Right.
So in Seti's case, yeah, shooting Q, especially those close range shots, that wasn't really self-defense, mm-hmm. but Q's actions, all that aggression, the threats, that created so much fear. Right. That's what undermined the idea of malice. That's why it wasn't murder.
Okay, and it's important to remember, mitigation, that's not the same as a full justification, like self-defense.
Exactly, a complete justification. Like if it was really self-defense, the right amount of force, that would mean there was no crime at all.
Right.
But mitigation, it doesn't erase the killing. It just says, okay, taking a life, that was wrong, but here's why it's not as bad as it could be.
Right.
Q's actions, they didn't give Seti a free pass, but they did change how we view the crime.
From murder to manslaughter.
Exactly.
And this case really shows how powerful that judicial discretion can be, right?
Absolutely.
The jury said murder, but the judges changed it, both the trial court and the appellate court.
Yeah, I mean, this case is a great example of how judges can step in and say, wait a minute, the jury might have missed something.
Right.
The evidence really shows there were these mitigating circumstances.
Yeah.
It's a way to make sure the punishment fits the crime.
Yeah, considering everything about the situation.
Exactly.
This deep dive has been really eye-opening.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, these ideas, malice, mitigation, they can seem kind of abstract. Mm-hmm. But this case, this real-life tragedy, it shows how powerful they are.
It does. It really does.
So as we wrap up here, I think it leaves us with a lot to think about. You know, how do we as a society balance this right to self-defense, which is so important,
yeah.
but also, you know, make sure people don't use too much force.
Yeah.
And maybe for everyone listening, maybe think about other situations, you know, different kinds of provocation, different levels of threat.
Mm.
How would these ideas of malice and mitigation play out in those situations?
That's a great question to consider. I mean, think about it. How would these legal rules work in different scenarios?
Yeah.
Maybe not a campsite, maybe something totally different.
Right.
It really helps you see how the law tries to find that balance.
Yeah.
Between holding people accountable and understanding the crazy situations they might find themselves in.
Right, right. It's all about finding that just outcome.
Exactly.
Well, that's all the time we have for today.
Okay.
Thanks for joining us on the Deep Dive.
Thanks for having me.